Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. I am so glad to be back, 2019, recording again.
2 weeks back-to-back.
2 weeks back-to-back for the first time probably since July of last year. I don't even know when.
Yeah, before you became a father.
But it feels good. It feels good.
It feels better.
Joining us, some special guests. We have Sean Crabtree and Cameron Bailey. With the Crabtree Group, is that correct?
And Crabtree
nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it. Dude, perfect.
And y'all have your own podcast. Let's give that a shout out right out of the gate. What's your podcast called?
We have a podcast called Dental Profits.
Dental Profits. Now, that's something I want to be a part of. Yeah. The Dental Profits podcast.
It's on a closed group.
But it's also on
Facebook.
It's also on Podcast Play and all those things. Where is that, Casey? Everywhere.
Mr. Producer.
Lipson.
Lipson. Stitcher. YouTube. All the YouTube. Everything. Perfect. Just Google it.
Wherever you consume podcasts.
It is the truth.
Over 100 podcasts now?
It's crazy. It just popped up over the last 18 months or so.
Well, there's over 100 what?
100 dental podcasts.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, wow. I think we're going to Voices of Dentistry.
Yeah, tomorrow. Y'all are going to be there. That's right. You're not traveling this weekend. Y'all should have come. It's going to be fun.
Man, we are so happy not to be traveling. So what is Voices of Dentistry?
That's the podcast. That's where they have all the podcasts.
It's the Dental Podcast Summit.
It's a dental convention, kind of like a podcast convention or podcast.
So do me a favor and make a point next year to put on the calendar. It's usually late January. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, I think, routinely in Scottsdale now. But this year, they've got over 350 attendees.
Wow.
And it's really fun because, and for the listeners, hopefully we'll see some of y'all there. But it's a great meeting because it literally is like a bunch of dental podcasts. Mm-hmm. It's just like a podcast frenzy. Everybody's set up everywhere. Recording, tons of content, but then lots of good speakers. And the way they're doing it this year, Paymon's actually speaking, is they're doing like 20-minute TED Talks of all the different podcasters are getting up there and talking. And it's a really fun event because it's basically like a dental meeting, but it's like casual, laid back. It's great.
Last year, this is the third year. So the first year was actually in Nashville.
Yeah.
Which is funny because that was the time that Sully told me about this whole millennial podcast.
Which is our podcast.
And that was where he started the whole thing. And that was the first year. Then the second year was last year which you were presenting there.
Yep.
And we had the whole booth and we podcasted. Maybe all
dude, like, we had a legit setup last
we
year.
Had a we had probably the best setup, like as far as the lights and the
we took the, we had everything.
Awesome, man. That's cool. That's
so yeah, great. So y'all gotta make a point of that. I digress.
Next
but
year,
make
yeah,
a point
it's probably gonna be in Scottsdale again. So
okay, so let's jump into this because typically we record with y'all not too long ago back in the fall and it was a great time.
You were a guest on our show.
It was a great time. And listeners, go check that episode out because it was great on the Dental Profits podcast. But now, let's give our listeners a little bit of an overview of what the Crabtree Group does because y'all do a variety of things. And then I do want to get into just some good old-fashioned discussion about how we make dental profits because that's what it's all about.
Yes.
Boom.
Somebody
go
first.
All about the dental profits. So what do? So you know what? I mean, that's it. We grow dental practices. We're not practice management consultants. I know everybody would kind of put us into that sort of
category. Yeah.
But you know what? We are strategists. And so as a strategist, here's what we do. Like, and you guys see it all the time, right? Like dentists. They're all of their energy, their effort, their focus, their education. It's all about production. It's all about growing production. They come in. I look at it like this. They're so focused on digging holes, right? They're just digging holes. And over the years, you're trying to grow your practice. How do you grow it? Well, you got to dig more holes. Well, how do you do that? Well, you got to dig faster. You got to dig more. You got to get more people digging. You got to dig more hours. You got to add more days to
the
dig.
You're wearing me out. You're wearing me out.
And so what we do as a strategist is what you might think. I mean, we walk in and ask some big questions, you know, like, okay, so first of all, is digging really what needs to happen, right? Number two, like, who needs to be digging? And then number three, like, what kind of tools do you need to be using to dig? And through the asking of those questions, you know, we're identifying opportunities for growth that have nothing whatsoever to do with digging faster or digging right. more hours or having more people dig, right?
It's really about maximizing all the opportunities in the practice and finding out really where it is that you want as the business owner your business to be, and then figuring out what systems, what strategies need to be put in place to help you get there rather than just work.
Right. What is the thing that, you know, we look at the practice, y'all, as a vehicle to getting the doctor and the team where it is that they want to go.
So
and that's really how we look at it, y'all. No kidding. Is it's a vehicle.
Just like our business is a vehicle to get us what we want. I mean, it's
sure.
What we try to do is tap into who is it, how is it, what is it, where is it, when is it that you want to be. And then let's get as much information as we can in all areas of practice about where it is that you currently are. And then let's help develop strategies to get you from where you are to where you want to be. And it's unfortunate because, and you know what? I used to think, guys, that this was strictly dentistry, you know?
Yeah.
You know, dentists, I used to think, hey, dentists spend so much time and energy and effort and money and blood and sweat and tears getting their education, you know, and they're so focused on the clinical aspects. But you know what? Here's what I've learned. It's the same thing in IT. It's the same thing in almost every other business, right? Like the guy who opens the IT business at the end of the day, he really enjoys the IT aspects of the business, right?
Sure.
But having a successful IT business, being really good technically at the IT aspect, it's two different things.
It's just like you guys have friends, I'm sure, that are entrepreneurs in other industries, and you guys go through the same challenges, and you can relate the challenges that you're going through from a structural standpoint with your business with some of your other entrepreneurs. But you know, it's finding the strategy behind it. Really, that's what we do, is we help you find the strategy and implement those systems.
So the first thing I love about this is, and it is interesting, and I'll be, y'all know me, I'm a pretty transparent, frank person, is that, and Payman, I'm really excited to hear your, because you don't really know them, you know, what they do or their, you know, I know a little bit more about them, is there's a ton of people in the industry who are trying to consult, coach, strategize, et cetera, to help develop the practice, right? And the problem becomes for a dentist is, and especially for a young dentist coming out of the career, is, okay, well, how do I identify the right person to help me move along the paths and goals that I want? And a second here, I want you to chime in, Payman, because you know you've experienced actually bringing on some consultants or coaches or whatever you want to call it, and as I quotation marks. And have had some pros about it and some not pros about it.
Sure.
But I'll tell you what, the first thing that I hear that jumps out at me that makes that is one reason why I like y'all and is something I think every dentist should be looking for, is that it all starts with what the dentist wants. You know, and I hear time and time again dentists who get put into a cookie cutter model of this is how you grow your practice, this is what you should do. And it's like, well, how the heck do you know what I want, what my goals are?
Right.
You know, and if you tried to put my practice and Payman's practice, for instance, I mean, we have totally different models. So, like, it would never make sense to grow our practices in a way that's
one strategy.
That's with one strategy. Right. Exactly. So,
thank you. Dude, I can give you a perfect example. I was having dinner with a 32-year-old dentist in Jefferson City, Missouri. He's now a client, but we were having dinner. And I asked him strictly that question. What do you want? Right? Yeah. What do you want? You know what he told me? He said, I never saw myself getting past the place I'm at now.
Yeah.
I've never thought about getting to the next step. He was doing about $1 million, $1.2 million already, sure. Right? And he said, I've never looked past where I was. It was like when
he basically said, "I didn't think I was going to get here. Yeah. I got here. I don't know what." No. I was like,
at this point, everything else is great.
Man, I didn't think I could get to this place.
Yeah, he said, where I was in dental school, it was very clear. It was get out of dental school. When I got out of dental school, it was very clear. Learn. Get a practice. Like, the next steps were very clear. Now he's like, I've gotten to $1 million worth of gross revenue. I don't know what the next step looks like, you know? So, to put it in perspective, this month he's probably going to collect somewhere around $160,000,
$180,000.
Wow. But he didn't know what he wanted. Until you can go there in your mind, you're never going to be able to create it.
No, that's huge, because your mind is literally your limiting factor, 100%. Yeah, and I agree
exactly.
on that.
Exactly. But no, the problem is, you need somebody sometimes like us or somebody like you guys to tell them what's possible, to expand their mind. You know, I can't put you in a cookie cutter approach and say, do this, do this, do this, because that may not be what you want. But until I can challenge you to go there in your mind, then we can create a system that's not only going to support your vision, it's going to support your patients, it's going to support your team and your bottom line profitability.
Payman, and talk about
strategies about.
Talk about, Payman, kind of your experience and how what you've been through and kind of what you're seeing.
Yeah, so when I first opened the practice, and it's so funny you brought this up about this gentleman or the dentist in Missouri, because I experienced the same thing. A lot of things happened to me in such a good, fast, blessed way.
Sure.
That I was already, I was an overachiever in the eyes of a lot of my friends. And I was seeing myself like, man, everybody looks at me like I'm this, doing all of this. But then at the end of the day, am I happy? Is this really what I wanted to do? So I went back and I started reading a lot of books and self-motivation. I got every book that you can name of, I started reading. And the more I realized I need to become more aware of what I like, the things I like, the things I want to be known for, the things I really want to practice. And there was one of the books that actually had an exercise where you have to write like your goals, like what do you want to do and so forth. Anyways, long story short, when I opened the practice, there were so much challenges from opening up to where the patients come in, and then now you become, like you said, an entrepreneur in a way of building, and now you got to deal with so many different aspects of running a business and making profit, that I didn't know what to do other than looking up on Google and finding dental coaches and consultants.
Right.
Somebody can guide me, because the more I started looking online and seeing some folks like, for example, Tony Robbins, Fortune Management, we podcast with them, and I wanted to see who are the best coaches out there. So I started looking up, going to different names. I don't want to say any names, but some of the very big known names, and I interviewed them. And it seemed like, first of all, the person that is behind that name is not even currently working anymore. So it's all the people behind.
You don't get them. Right. You don't get
them. Yeah. Partially, that was the whole thing that threw me off.
You mean they're not? Although I have.
You're going to talk to Peggy. You get to talk to Peggy.
Right. That's how it seemed. Like, okay, so I've trained this person to be like me. And that's how it's going to be. So I ultimately ended up with.
Which, guys, by the way, that's how you understand. That's how you scale a coaching business.
Well, and I get that. That's part of it.
Yeah, but there is value in what you're saying.
And that's the thing, exactly. I didn't know, maybe that next person that they trained, maybe that would have been a better fit than the actual person. Because sometimes that happens where buddy, they become even better.
So, but I like to think that's me. Like, I get it better, but
the
ego. Thing,
the whole moral of the story was for me that at the end of the day, there were so many people out there calling themselves consultants and coaches. Yeah. Where after a few interviews for free, just sitting down, talking over Skype, over the phone, some of them actually doing a whole analysis of the office. Some of them stay in within 2, 3, 4 weeks of having all kinds of access to my open dental and everything. I realized that the only way I enjoy having coaches is by having a hands-on coach. Somebody who actually comes and be right next to me, see my practice day to day, not somebody that is going to be in the other part of the country looking at the Skype and talking with my front girls and asking them to do the things that they think they want. Like, some of that stuff that kind of disconnected me from wanting to even go for it. Now I have some friends that love their coaches And I have some friends that go through the whole year and they're like, oh, you don't need them. I can just give you this stuff that they need. So there's so many mixed feelings about it that I'm still kind of doing it myself. And I mean, so far so good. Like I said, I'm doing very well at the office to where I totally would enjoy having a system of a consultants and coaches to be overwatching what I do. But unfortunately, I have not found that right fit for me.
Sure. So speak to that, gentlemen.
Here's the thing I've learned. You know, when you are a dentist, you at least have to have DDS or DMD behind your name, right?
Sure. There's a little bit of a weeding out. Not a huge. Let's be very clear. It's the bar is not as high as we think, gentlemen.
It's not.
but if you think about it like this, like. You know, there are not so good dentists out there. There are great dentists out there. But at least you know that there is a line in the sand in terms of that. But when it comes to a consultant, listen, Julie, the office manager who worked in this one office, can claim she's a consultant. And here you go, right? Like you never really know. And there's all kind of stuff on social media that is, I mean, it's everywhere. It's not just in consulting. There's a lot of junk on social media. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff out by the way, so we've been doing this for, Cameron's been doing this for about
almost 10 years.
Almost
now.
A decade.
How'd y'all get into this? Because that's always a good story. How did y'all get into kind of this whole thing?
Well, so here's the deal. So I was in the telecommunications industry. I'm a little older than Cameron. I know it's hard to tell.
It is.
Because I look younger than him.
Botox does wonders.
Right? That's right. But, you know, I've been doing this for about 22 years. I was in the telecommunications industry when it was really in its infancy. And so from there, like, you know, honestly, it's happening in dentistry.
You're talking about the brick phones, man. That's how old he is.
Yeah,
like,
the brick, yeah. I remember Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of similarities, though, right? I mean, you see roll-ups
100%
going on in dentistry right now, just like it happened back then. There was a bunch of different cell phone companies, and then it began to roll up into, you know, just a couple, and
the
then
big five, yeah,
basically AT&T and Verizon. But anyway, that was my original right out of college deal, and I was working at a tri-state area for about a decade. And I know that's hard to believe because I'm a really young looking guy, but that was my original deal. We went corporate. We got bought out several times. It was just not, it was not fun for me at all. I lost all my ability to take care of my clientele. And so one of my clients was a consultant, and he actually worked with Tony. You guys mentioned Tony Robbins. And so, you know, I jumped ship. I didn't really know what he did, but I knew that I was missing the ability to really take care of clients at a very high level. I knew that I was missing the opportunity to really make an impact. And so I jumped in with him and starved to death for a good long time. And he and I shared an office and a team together for many, many years. And from there, I learned really the gifts that I bring to the table. I learned that treatment acceptance, by the way, and I don't want to jump into this if you guys are not ready.
No,
for this.
Go there. I'm fine with that.
Listen, man, treatment acceptance is one of the main reasons that I do what I do. When I was in telecommunications, I was coaching these 20-somethings in a tri-state area, Tennessee being one of those areas, on, you know, what I thought was the most basic concepts of sales and value creation.
Are we gonna say that word, man?
Sales.
Can we say that
word? Oh gosh, say the word. Yes. It's not, why is such a good word? It is what it is. What's a better word is exactly what he followed it up with. Value creation. Yeah. Because if you can't create value, none of us have a job.
Exactly.
And there's low hanging fruit and high hanging fruit. And if you don't know sales, you can't get to the high hanging fruit.
That's right. And the biggest opportunity is probably in the middle between the low and the high. And that's where the big money's made, right? But anyway, that was the reason that I got into this. There was a lot of, what I learned is nobody really in healthcare understood the concept of value creation, which was extremely enticing for me as a young guy. You know, I knew a language that nobody else really knew. And the most basic concepts were well below what these 20-somethings, you know, that I was coaching at a business school already had a basis for. And so it's the thing that really attracted me to this. The stuff that's out there is, a lot of it is, no disrespect, but it's a lot of dentistry kind of sales. And it's not sales. And so that was a thing that really brought me to create the Crabtree Group about 12 years ago. Cameron came on board about 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And elbowed his way in here and became a partner, like would accept nothing less than having ownership.
Strong.
It's hard to believe in it when you look at this guy.
My background's in sales and marketing too. I mean,
very similar. We're very similar
backgrounds. Sales, marketing. Like
I love sales and marketing. Yeah. I like marketing more than sales, because I think the real challenge for my office and what I'm trying to create is where patients are already bought into me before they meet me. So how can I create that?
Before they meet you, before they meet your team?
Before they meet
anybody, before they walk in the door.
But mostly the whole office too.
Before you walk in the operatory.
Yes. Exactly. That's the key.
It's got to be set up. It's got to be set up before you get in there.
100%. And I think that's the hardest thing to do, to be able to create so many eggs in different baskets on different social media, online presence, the websites, testimonials.
Your team.
And the team and the training to where patients come in, they're like, okay, how much? That's the last
right. Right?
Or where do I sign? Yeah.
Now, how do you sell value? Because nobody is going to deny, everybody would love to have these big treatment plans and having full arch veneers, full arch crowns, full arch everything. Now, what about the challenge of dealing with a lot of middle class, where you want to get them either financed, or how would you say some of the tips and tricks that you could use or you could teach some of the younger folks as far as either teaching skills of talking, or, for example, this is my challenge. How am I going to tell this patient that this thing is going to cost you 20 grand without them be like, wow, like, give me a heads up. Like, how would you?
That's a loaded question.
All right, I'm going to take this when you take this. Let me take this one.
Okay, go ahead.
You take
that. I want to say one thing, though. You know, you guys know how many marketing companies contact us. Like, you guys know my boy Kevin Barnett with High Five,
right?
Kevin, me and Kevin are tight. And I can't tell you how many times the marketing companies contact us and they say, listen, man, I'm filling the funnel. I'm filling the top of the funnel for this practice.
We're bringing patients like crazy to this office. They can't close anything.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, they're like, I'm doing my job. I'm making the phone ring, but these guys can't close the screen door when the phone rings. You know what I'm saying?
So yes. Yeah.
That's a big challenge. There's two different things. One is getting the phone to ring. The second is what happens after the phone rings. Right.
Two different challenges. And he was setting me up to that, because that's the answer to your question, man. You know, when you say, hey, what do I do when I got a patient here and I got a $20,000 treatment plan and they're not prepared for that?
Right.
Oh, come on, man. You guys are bringing pizza.
Suckers!
We're camped out for the night, man.
Dude, we're ready. This is what we're here for. We're going to go all along.
So he's talking about.
Yeah, I missed this. I had to get our pizza.
We were saying the.
It's a great question. Yeah, like, what do you?
Yeah.
So what do you do when the patient comes in, there's a $20,000 treatment plan, and you know they're not prepared for that? Well, here's the answer, man. Get them prepared before you make the diagnosis. And that's in the intake call. And that's what Cameron's talking about. When marketing makes the phone ring, what we have to do is qualify the patient.
Right.
Now, I understand that like, our approach is a lot different, because there's a lot of misinformation out there.
Yeah.
The misinformation out there is patient calls, you get them in the schedule. Well, that's what happens. When you get them in the schedule and they're not properly qualified, then you got a patient who's got a $20,000 treatment plan, and all they want to talk about is this space, or they want to talk about a cleaning or whatever.
Right.
And so what you do is you qualify them on the intake call.
They haven't been to the dentist in 20 years, and Joanne at the front desk just schedules them for a new patient exam and creates no expectations, creates no setup. So now the patient's coming. What? They're coming for a cleaning. And then you tell me I need $20,000 worth of work. Dude, I didn't come for that. I came for a cleaning.
So the person at the front desk has got to understand, man, your role is the setup for everything. I mean, your job is to qualify the patient. Think about that now. You can pick any scenario in any situation. You can pick a scenario and you go, okay, there's $20,000 treatment plan. Okay, 90% of that could be discovered over the phone. I'm not saying diagnose over the phone, but I'm saying ask questions in a way that the patient understands. Mm-hmm. I'm not just here for this one thing. I could have all these things going on. And if you got a $20,000 treatment plan, that's just a matter of asking questions and bringing the patient along with you, asking open-ended questions. You're not going to be able to do this by doing a survey. Do you have this? Did you this? Are you this? It's not that. It's open-ended questions. What? How? And you're getting the patient to open up and be focused on you, right? And then you're asking questions in a way that the patient comes along with you on this journey. And if you do that right, here's what they're going to say. Oh, my gosh. I was really calling to see what you charge for a crown. I got a lot going on. Do y'all have a payment plan? or whatever that indicates to you, they go, oh, I got a lot going on. Now they're walking in the door going, I got a lot going on. And they're prepared. They don't know what it is, but they're prepared, right? And here's the other thing. It's no different than me showing up for an oil change.
Sure.
Right? Right.
And the person on the other end of the phone should be asking these questions to qualify me. But if they haven't done that and I show up for their oil change and they call me and go, Mr. Crabtree, we can't change your oil because, by the way, you got $4,800 worth of work that needs to be done with your engine. I'm going, dude, it drove fine when I brought it in there.
I'm just there for the oil change.
like it didn't hurt. Now,
here's a question. Here's a good question I think I have is that how would you say that these people that are already know dentists that are going to be, they're so expensive. There's so much money that they're going to charge me. They're going to want to do this. Now, if my front desk is going to start talking money and making them not scare them away from even showing up to see my face.
We're not going to talk about
money. No, they're not talking money. They're just asking questions. We're talking about questions like this.
We're creating expectations.
So Sully, I'm really glad.
You're not talking about price shoppers. You're not answering them. Like, so people call in, they say, how much is an implant abutment or how much is an implant crown?
Do you guys call and say how much an implant costs? What question? Let me ask you this. I'll be the patient. I'm calling to say how much an implant costs. What question would you ask me?
I would ask.
No, I'm just kidding.
depending on your situation, their implants start at so and so, and they go up to so and so,
and that's what most people do.
And how much value is created in that? You just scared them off. There's no value in that.
So this we're essentially, to some degree, we're commoditizing ourselves when we do that.
Totally. So, and that would be no different than me calling the Chevrolet store and saying, hey, what do you guys charge for a Corvette?
Yeah. Well, can I get an F-150?
No, it's even better than that. It's not like, what do you charge for a Corvette? It would be like somebody calling a dealership and saying, hey, what do you charge for a car?
Yeah.
Really? Like, we got all these kinds of cars, right? Like, it could be this to this. So
these guys some good questions.
But the fear here, I guess, is
how do we not lose that patient?
Because part of it is like trying to get the, because like you said, once they get into your office, once they meet your team, once they meet me, hopefully we've done a lot of things up to that point that we've created a lot of value. So, I don't want to.
If they're in the right mindset.
If they're, you're right. It's but part of, I guess, important. The fear is that don't I need that to create the mindset? Like, don't I need that experience to then. Like, because people may think they don't want comprehensive care until I help walk them there. Or you're saying we should be setting that up on the phone to potentially get us there quicker or et cetera. Baby, we're Instagram action. Instagram, that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. Well, so here's the thing. One of the biggest challenges, and this is, and you know what, Payman just fell right into this, and I think most people do before they have this kind of training.
Uh-huh.
Fell right in. Most people have this challenge. People in healthcare are so wanting to help that when a patient asks a question, they feel like, I need to own the answer. And if I own the answer, I must be helping. But think about the way that goes. Patient picks up the phone. They got one thing on their mind. They want to know, do you take my insurance? Or they want to know, what do you charge for crown? Or they want to know, how quickly can you get
insurance? Is a great one, because that's one we get all the time, right?
Right. So here's the thing. If you own the answer to that question, they're going to go, okay, thanks very much. Hang up, call the next page, and ask the same question of the next office, right? What we want to do is take control of the call. And the person on that is answering the phone has to understand where we're trying to go. They got to understand what happens after me. They got to understand the role that they're playing. And so really what they want to do is, I want to qualify the patient. And that means that I can't own the answer. When a patient calls and they throw that question, whatever that question is.
What do you charge for cleaning?
What do you charge for cleaning? I want to answer that question with a question, take control of the conversation. Let me then ask the questions.
So let's walk through if you don't mind.
You want to role play it?
Not that I'm trying to get you to divulge all of your secrets. I do think it's valuable. Like, okay,
pepperoni pizza.
As I'm crushing some pepperoni pizza over here, y'all. I'm hungry, okay? Sorry.
So let's go.
First Citizens Bank came today and they brought lunch and they brought barbecue, but like, they didn't bring anything else. It's like, I could eat 7 barbecue sandwiches. I was like hoping for a couple sides or something, but.
Are you getting coleslaw? No salad,
come
nothing.
On, man. Can I get some sides up in here? Okay. So patient calls in. Who's going to, Sean or Cameron, who's doing this? Who am I going with?
I'll do it. You want to do it?
Okay. Hey, Dr. Sean, Dr. Crabtree. I'm, new patient in the area, and I am curious, what's a cleaning cost in your office?
That is a great question. Who am I talking to?
Oh, yeah, my name's Richard Sullivan.
He's asking names. That's perfect.
So can I call you Sully?
Call me Sully, sure.
Sully, I'm Sean. It's really nice to meet you. So let me ask some questions. So when's the last time you've been to a dentist?
Oh, gosh. Well, I moved here, but honestly, I haven't been to one probably in 2 years.
It's been 2 years. I'm curious, what kept you away for so long?
Gosh, life, man. Busy. Just work.
Yeah.
New kid. Yeah.
A lot going on. I totally understand that. So let me ask you, Sully, how often are you brushing?
At least once every couple of days.
At least.
But I'll be honest, flossing once a week, probably.
No, and you know what?
I'm role-playing, by the way. This is, you know, just...
Right. But that's a pretty honest answer. And here's the thing. I'm not going to be able to go into this call with a script, because I've got to be able to play with where Sully goes with this. So if Sully hasn't been in the dentist in 25 years, I'm going to go a different direction than if he goes, you know what? I've been going to the dentist every 3 months since I was 6 years old, only because I like to have clean teeth, not because I've had any perio or anything like that. Whatever, right? It's a different set of questions. So I'm going to stay with that line of questions. So it's been a couple of years. What kept you away so long? Hey, I've been busy. Hey, I totally understand it. Life, right?
Yep.
So you only brush once a day? How often? All right. So how often do you bleed when you brush?
I don't think I bleed when I brush.
Ever?
Probably. Maybe a little bit, but not. I don't think so.
Well, that's wonderful. And you're only brushing once a day?
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Good genetics.
Now, by the way, in my office, I got a stack of recordings. Cameron and I go through recordings all day long, every day.
Oh, that's what I was going to actually ask next, is that I'm looking actually on my phone as you're speaking, is through my phone calls at the end of the day, because I get them transcribed in my email. Yeah. And that is so helpful. So you guys do the same thing? Do you guys actually?
Well, hold on. Let's finish our role play. I think recordings are great.
I was going to say, we got hundreds of thousands of recordings over the last 20 years. And when somebody on the front desk asks that question, first of all, how often do you brush? And if they say, I only brush, they won't say I only brush. Here's what they'll say. I brush every day. How often do you brush? Usually in the mornings. Okay.
What does this have to do with how much my cleaning costs?
Well, here's the thing. How much do you bleed? Mm. Right? And you'd be surprised. A lot of them will go, I bleed almost every time I brush, and that's why I usually only brush in the morning. Great. Have you ever been formally diagnosed with periodontal disease? Now, with the exception of one patient on a recording, most everybody goes, no, do you think I have that? Now, I got a recording where a patient actually goes, yeah, I've been diagnosed with that. years ago, Dennis told me that, but I didn't really go for it. I got paranoid.
He was old. That's what you said. Right. He was old.
But anyway, what you're trying to do, Sully, is open it up so that the patient understands, I called because I want to know this. But after 3 or 4 minutes, I understand, number one, I might have perio. And then we haven't got to the rest of it. Do you have any broken teeth? Any missing teeth? What kind of chips or cracks do you have?
Are you noticing any sharp edges or cracks anywhere in your mouth?
Do you have any discoloration, right? I've got a recording, you guys, that I just played on a training I had yesterday. True story. True story. Patient calls, and the front desk picks up. Yeah, who am I talking to? She goes, my name's Brenda.
Brenda. Yes. We had a Brenda the other day.
She goes, so Brenda, what's going on? She goes, I just really need a cleaning. It's been a couple of years. Everything's fine. I just need a cleaning. 99% of the time, Brenda would have been scheduled, okay? But we didn't schedule her. The front desk person goes into some questions. Now, seriously, I'm not kidding. She goes, everything's fine. I just need a cleaning. Okay, great. So let me ask you some questions. So, Brenda, when's the last time you've been to the dentist? It's been a couple of years. Okay. So what kept you away? Well, I didn't have insurance, and now I got insurance again, so I'm ready to get back to the dentist. I'm ready to get my cleaning. Okay, great. So let me ask you a question. How many brush? True story. She goes, every day. So once a day, twice a day, usually in the morning. How often do you bleed? I bleed a lot, and it's sensitive, so I only brush in the morning. Have you ever been diagnosed with periodontal disease? Yeah, they told me I had that a couple years ago. So how come you didn't do anything about it? I don't think Dennis was really worried about it.
No way. Okay.
All right. So we kept playing along, right? So Brenda, so you got definitely have periodontal disease, or at least you had it a couple of years ago. We won't know until the doctor takes a look. Do you have any loose teeth or broken teeth? No, I don't have any loose teeth. She said, I had a feeling. And it fell out. Oh, you had a feeling that fell out? Yeah, it's a hole. And when I put my tongue in it, it's getting larger. What? It was a white filling? Oh, so you had a composite filling that fell out. Yeah, okay. And the hole's getting larger? Yeah, okay. Does it hurt yet? Right, we're planting the seed. Does it hurt yet?
Love the yet.
No, not yet. Okay, so you got periodontal disease. You got a hole in your tooth with a filling that fell out. Okay, so Brenda, when you look in the mirror, do you see anything? Yeah, I see some discoloration. I know I've got some cavities in some other places. Oh, you got some cavities? Yeah, it's hurting on my lower left side. Oh, it's hurting? Now, 3 minutes ago, we were talking about I just need a cleaning. Now it gets better, y'all. This is about a four minute recording. Basically, when it's all said and done, Brenda's got a partial that she lost.
Yeah.
She's got a hole with a composite filling that fell out. She's got what she thinks are cavities on the lower left side. She's got discoloration on the top and the bottom, and she lost her partial, and she probably has periodontal disease.
But that's just when the first step. That's just the first step.
But when Brenda walks in, she's not going to be afraid of a diagnosis. At the end of this call, Brenda's going, do y'all have any kind of payment plans?
Sure.
Because I obviously have a lot going on. Now, guys, that's a lot different than pushing somebody into an appointment. At that point, the patient is pulling the appointment from you. It's a completely different scenario.
You're changing.
And Brenda's walking in the door realizing, hey, I got a sense of urgency. I'm not here for cleaning. I got a bunch of stuff going on.
Well, here's that's a very good nugget he gave us.
It is.
I didn't mean to go along on that, guys. I get excited about it, fellas.
All right, Cam, what you got?
I want to give you time to chew the pepperoni. I appreciate that.
Here's the problem, guys. You guys understand what we're talking about. But you're back in chair two cutting a crown.
Sure.
And Joe is answering the phone. And you have no clue what's going on. Right. Desk when she's answering the phone.
No, let's be so clear. True. I've been so impressed by looking at my phone conversation and seeing some of the things that some of these people call and say. And I had no idea in the world of me that some of these people are calling for, like you said, they call to schedule for a cleaning where they have a partial and they have a hole in one of their tooth. And the front desk they're being trained or taught by a lot of folks that the only goal for us to answer these phones is to get them into the door and we're going to take care of it. And honestly, I'm not going to lie. I was a big fan of that. I was a big fan of getting people because I have such a personality. We're like, man, I'm going to get them in. I'm going to transform their vision. Yeah. I'm going to be there like...
No, I think that's... Listen, man. Because you're an entrepreneur.
And I did it. And that was rewarding for me. For example, I got gas station ladies coming in and dropping $40,000. I had so many good rewards for something that I was doing wrong that I felt like, wow, look at this positive coming. And I was, man, I was spending 45 minutes an hour for consults, like sitting down and telling them all the problems that they had throughout their life, all the neglect, all the emotional dissatisfaction they had. I had to bring it to them instead of that phone call. Well, now you kind of opened my eyes in a way that I'm now seeing more. And I've kind of noticed it over the past couple of years of seeing how it's so much more powerful when these folks know something about the money or the dollar cost of how much cost some of these treatments.
But here's the thing, man. You can sell it. But what you've done up until this point is you've been responsible for selling it. And you can do that up until a certain point, but you can't have a $4 million practice where you're having to sell every single case.
Right.
I mean, we work with single doctors that have $3, $4, or $5 million practices. You know, we got a single doctor practice, $3.2 million, two hygienists. He can't go in there and sell.
We got two doctor practices right now.
Two doctor practices, $5 million.
Trying to go to 7 and 19.
But they can't go in. You can't go in there and sell. The doctor can't go in there and sell it every single time.
As far as I'm concerned.
$7 million is a lot of money.
I'm on my way. We'll be there. Just give me like 6 months. So, okay. So let's go into the recording of the calls. How do you, because ultimately this all sounds great, right? So how do you then bring in team members to getting on board with this, discussing, hey, we're going to be recording these calls, we're going to be doing training. How does that go over, and what do you do to implement and kind of get that going? Because that can be sometimes a hurdle for doctors to do.
Well, we don't record them.
They record them.
We try to create a culture where the people on your team are thinking like business partners in your practice. And so they're trying to get better, right? So they're recording and they're sending them to us. We have a lot of ways that we interact with our clients. We have group coaching going on where we're going through these recordings on a regular basis. We have one-on-one coaching where we're going through those recordings on a regular basis. By the way, we're talking about an intake call.
That's just the first step.
Yeah, we're recording
confirmations,
reinstatements. I mean, we're recording financial arrangements.
Chair side presentation.
Asking for referrals. You know, the whole ball of wax. Cancellation calls. You guys have no idea what a big opportunity that is. Like, nobody on earth ever focuses on what is a great systematic approach for how we might handle a cancellation call, right? And there's ways to take a look at that, you know? Mm-hmm. There's probably ways that, you know, if you get two or three of those a day, there might be a way that you could orchestrate that or ask some questions in a way that 50% of those cancellations might even show up if you had a process that you could track or whatever.
Sure. But most offices just kind of say, okay, when do you want to reschedule? And if they say,
well, hey, man, I'm busy. I'm in between ops. You know, the phone's ringing. Who's going to get it? That's ring number two. All right, let me unglove. I'll grab it. Hello? Yeah, I need to cancel my appointment tomorrow. Okay, great. What's your name? All right, I'll make a note. Thanks for calling. Done.
Gosh.
I mean, that's what happens a lot, right?
Very mad at my front desk for calling these patients that were calling to cancel. They were being so nice. Oh, you want to cancel? Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
And I'm like over there hearing this. Like, I just wasted the whole hour. Like, why did I even come for this if she's going to cancel? And you're going to just act like everything
no big deal.
Cool. And I was so exhausted. And I didn't know how to transfer that emotion and the anger without being destructive. I wanted to be more into, like, I wanted to really teach her, like, hey, look at what you, but I didn't know how to make it sound or what is the vocabulary.
What'd you do?
I kept saying, with all due respect, you have to be very respectful, but make them be so aware that what they did, it hurt us and hurt a lot of patients that could have had that opportunity to be seen. So make them feel bad in a way that they're never going to do that again. Kind of like that.
You know what you're talking about right now? I have to tell you, in the 35 years that I've been in business and the 22 years that I've been working in dentistry, I can tell you right now, what you're talking about is 100% of the challenge across the board. Mm-hmm. The orchestration of communication, that's everything, man. And as a millennial, if you're listening to this and you're going, what's the one thing I need to take away?
This is what you need to take away, man.
It's communication. You have got to learn to communicate. You've got to learn to communicate to address challenges in your team, in your business. And if you're afraid to communicate because you don't know how to orchestrate it, then you are eventually allowing the shoe to determine how big the foot gets, right? You're allowing the tail to wag the dog. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
So learning to communicate and putting a focus on communication so the people on your team understand they've got to understand how they can do anything if they orchestrate it with the patients properly. You can collect 100% of a $20,000 case up front before you start the work if you orchestrate it properly. Or if that's not your goal, then whatever your goal is, you can accomplish it if you learn how to communicate the orchestration of it properly. That's everything. It's not our job to tell you what you want, right? It's your job to figure out what you want, and we own that with you, and then let's help you orchestrate whatever it is that you want so that it's actually happening.
Well, and the hard part about that is there's not a ton of great resources out there for doctors to get their training and communication. I mean, there's not, or there are, but they're not necessarily dental advertised or attractive. I mean, there are a lot of ways to increase communications. We just don't think outside the box.
I feel like a lot of dental students in our class had communication problems to begin with.
Exactly. And then, you're trying to train your team to communicate. Yeah. And to some degree, we've been fortunate about that because, like you said, and like they pointed out, you know, you can personally cover up a lot of stuff for a certain amount of time.
Sure.
And that's the reality. And I've learned that too. At some point, it has to become scalable and I'm realizing that too. And you get that when you're doing a frereaking $40,000 treatment plan or even a $10,000 treatment plan, for goodness sakes, that's a freaking 10 grand is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, and for a patient to sometimes get over the hump of finally taking the hump to do that, they may need 30 to 45 to an hour minutes in your office talking to somebody. Sure. But it can't be you because right. That's costing you a lot of money. Right. And so you got to figure out, okay, how can I, and this is something I get on my dad a lot because it's like, okay, you got to get in there, say what you need to do and then get out. You know, you can't be sitting there and planning and sciencing them to death and, you know, all the other thing. It's just too much. And half the time, y'all probably see this too when you hear dentists and whatnot, is I'll see a lot of times is that dentists will talk their way into something. And then they'll talk their way out of it.
Yeah.
Right out of it. Like,
there they go. The patient was ready, and then you just freaking blew it.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's just, you know,
I do that a lot.
We all do, though, to some degree. You know? That's a hard part. But I love the idea of recording. I think that it's funny y'all said that, actually. I bought two little recorders off Amazon.
The other part of it that you're talking about, though,
best recorders right here, man.
Well, I know, but, you know, I don't know why I felt like I needed to buy an actual recorder, but I did.
Wait, you makes got walkie-talkies.
You know what? Oh, we just switched to radio. What do you think about? I am loving our radios, dude. We're one weekend radios.
Love them.
Oh, my gosh. Game freaking. Our communication as a team is already a game changer.
Sully, you don't wear one, though, right?
Gosh, no.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I love it. Y'all have more of that too. I was like, no, I'm not wearing one. The last thing I didn't do really wear one.
Yeah, I was in a practice. I guess it was a few weeks ago, and the doctor was wearing one of the radios. I'm like, what are you doing?
No. I have like the actual walkie-talkie in my office that I can like, you know, say like copy that and Roger, and like walkie turn. But no, I'm not wearing an earpiece.
I feel like if I get it, I'll be the one. Well, actually, because I like, for example, I'm in the surgery or I'm doing something in that room. And then I there are so many things in the front that comes to my mind, and I want to communicate with my front.
Perfect. That's what the girl sitting across the from you could do.
And they exactly.
Yeah, okay. She radios.
So I don't need to wear that.
No.
No, you don't need to wear that. The whole point is
that's the whole point.
You're the goose that lays the golden egg. The whole point of the radio is to move the goose. The goose. The goose doesn't need to have a radio.
Amen to that.
It goes back to what you were saying earlier, man. I mean, it shouldn't be up to you to be, or as the doctor, to be presenting all this stuff, right? Use the gifts of the people around you and make sure that the people on your team understand what happens on the intake, what happens after that, how does each role support the other role when it comes to treatment acceptance, right? Where is it that we're trying to go?
Yeah.
How is it that we need to be? And doctor, your role is to come in, kiss the babies, hug the grandmothers, yep, make the diagnosis, glad hand, and get out of the way.
Because
and
if you're going I'm telling you guys, you guys know, if you're going to have a super successful dental practice, you can't, your time is so bad.
Yeah. It's not because you're a doctor. It's because in any situation where the owner of the business is the producer, that's the way it needs to work, right?
Yeah,
that's the way it needs to work. It's not because
the whole point of having a team.
So that's okay. It. So when you and again, you know, selfishly for our listeners, when you come into a new practice and you're analyzing a practice, what do y'all see are typically the first points of we got to fix this?
The first pain points.
Yeah, what's like the first pain? Like, they're worth the fee right here because we're gonna knock this out of the park with them.
Treatment acceptance.
Treatment acceptance.
Okay.
All right. So
treatment acceptance.
We were in a practice.
Well, probably I'd say top three.
The worst one.
Give me the top three, and then we'll let Sean go with
this. Treatment acceptance, collection, hygiene.
Oh gosh, collection. I mean, that's a great. I mean, how often do we see freaking people? They do it. They don't collect the money, and that's like, Okay.
I was in a $6 million. $6 million dental
practice. We'll call it $4.5 million.
$6 million dental practice, three doctors. Okay. $6 million dental practice. We were observing, okay, and doing an analysis.
Sure.
So there's six people at the front desk, six front desk ladies.
Wow.
Million
each.
Yeah.
Probably watching.
They're probably right watching. Now. It'll be okay. So well, now you said their name. So
strike the record.
Yeah. So it comes.
Please delete that.
It comes down to. This is how backwards we get sometimes. It comes down to closing a treatment plan. They bring the patient to the front desk. The hygienist is so busy, she throws the treatment plan down. $6,200 treatment plan. We don't have time to present the treatment plan. Here's what they said: we'll mail you your treatment plan.
Oh my goodness.
You decide. You tell me if you think you want to do it, and let us know.
Wow, that's when you're too big for your britches. Yeah, you're too big.
This is going on in America. So the top
three
challenges.
This is going on in America.
This is going on.
And for the record, whoever this office is deserves to know. They deserve to be put up front on stage with that because that's ridiculous. So
yeah. So top three challenges.
It's not really that office. I do that. Sometimes no. Okay, so here's my problem. Patient comes in, they've never seen a dentist in 12 years. They have a full mouth of a lot of interesting and challenging things where it's not an all-on-four type of scenario where like, oh, everything, but everything needs the work.
Every tooth needs something.
Right. So I'm like, I need to do a study model and then just get back with you in about a few days because I need to mount it, do my thing on all that stuff. So when the patient leaves, I feel like if I didn't tell them the treatment plan that day, I presented to them with so much assurance and confidence, like, this is what I'm wanting to do for you. Here's that before and after of a case like yours. I feel like those that I call later and say that treatment plan, we're going to mail it to you, and they're going to explain all the options and finances, I don't get much answer. Like, I don't get much results from them versus...
No, man, dude, they're not in front of you.
Listen, wait a minute. Here's the way you need to lay that out, dude. It's in the orchestration, right? So you've got a patient there, and we have a lot of offices who they decide that their game plan is, hey, if this treatment plan is this or below, we're going to present. If it's this and above, whatever that number is,
that's what we do.
we're going to bring them back. And we're also going to make sure that if we need to have the spouse as a decision maker, we're going to bring them back for the presentation.
And we're going to schedule that before they leave.
But here's the thing. It's in the setup. If you're not getting a lot of interaction or whatever you're saying in that, it's in the setup. So, you know, maybe like I go back to the days of, you know, there's a lot of guys out there, but I would probably go back to, you know, and approach it like this. So there are, you know, hey, we've got your diagnostics, like we've got all the x-rays. We know, here's the other thing, value creation. We know what's most important to you in terms of, you know, emotionally when it comes to your teeth. And we got all your x-rays, get all the diagnostics. Now, what the doctor needs, this is not you, what the doctor needs is he needs a little bit of time to really get to know your case by heart so he can develop a plan that's going to get you everything it is that you said that you wanted. We'll have you back. We'll bring your spouse with you, right? Mm-hmm. Then we'll present the treatment plan. There's no money conversation at that point.
Gosh. And what was so, like, just little pearls, like little things are great. Like, when he says right to you, he gets the yes. You nod and agree. Even in this moment, right? Sean's done such a good job of controlling
the conversation
yeah. And like saying, you follow me? Is that good? You know, he's getting, because as soon as, when you give him that, when you're nodding and giving yes, that's putting you in a perspective of acceptance.
Following.
I'm okay with this.
Totally, he's the leader in the conversation.
Exactly. And so, and it spins it completely on, okay, it's in my best interest. Gosh, I want them to set aside time to really review my case and look over exactly. Tonight when there's no one here.
To get to know your case specifically by
so
heart.
I can meet the need. I'm bringing value. I think it's and that was, we yeah. switched to this, I guess, back in, I want to say like July or something. It's been huge from that standpoint. If it's less than essentially, mm-hmm. if it's more than essentially $2,000, or unless it's like just Invisalign or just 6 months miles or just an implant, if it's anything multiple or more than that, we're bringing them back to kind of go over and our ability to do comprehensive dentistry has increased substantially. I mean, our average case now is probably, you know, moving up into the more we're seeing multiple. Two patients in a morning instead of
That's
five
awesome.
Patients. In the morning, right? Because
so, that's awesome, man.
It's huge.
That's awesome. And you know what? That's an individual thing, because a practice, you know, in Whereverville,
right,
may have a different ceiling for what that looks sure. like than a Franklin practice or a Nashville or a Gallatin practice.
Well, if you're a $6 million practice, it may be $10,000 that you're sitting. They may just be like, look, this is nothing. This is pocket change.
They're getting it $300 at a time.
They're getting it $1,000.
Oh, gosh, that's exhausting. We don't want that.
We have practices. We have practices. We work with practices all over the country. So, like, we have practices in Detroit, you know, in lower income levels where, you know what, for my patient base, $1,000 may be a lot of money. You know,
yeah.
$2,000 may be a lot of money. Or, you know, or I've got a cosmetic practice we work with in Fort Worth, Texas, and they're like, dude, if it's under $5,000, we're doing it right then, presenting it.
Sure.
If it's over $5,000, we'll bring it back. But you gotta have a cutoff.
That's where it comes into, where do you want to be? What's most important to you?
What type of dentistry?
And
do you
that brings
do?
It back to where it is we started in the beginning, guys. At the end of the day, your practice is nothing more than a vehicle to get you where you want to go. What you got to figure out is, where do you want to go? We can develop strategies to help you get there, but you got to figure out where it is that you want to go. And you know what? I mean, the person who's listening to this podcast may want something different than what Payman wants or what Scully wants.
Yeah.
Sully. I said Scully.
Yeah, Sully.
I get that. I get all sorts of things at this point.
Well, I'm having a little.
Yeah.
What about the way that you guys work, or is it like a monthly sort of contract? Is it a year? Like, for example, based on the goals of the dentist, you work with the time thing. How does that work out with you?
How does the Crabtree Group get paid? Let's cut to the chase. Give us the lowdown. How do we sign up? Because
what is it, Cameron Bailey?
Well, we have three different ways you can interact with the Crabtree Group. Number one, we have an online.
We work for free.
No, we don't do that. But we have an online academy. That's very economical. It's kind of like a little do-it-yourself treatment acceptance academy. If you guys would like to,
it's video,
you
know, based.
Millennials love that.
Yeah, we have that. We also have what we call.
By the way, that is Intake Hall that we just talked about. value creation chairside. It's handoffs to the doctor. It's handoffs to the financial. It's diagnosis. It's the financial.
All of the that course,
the whole thing.
That course is everything treatment acceptance really from the time the phone rings to the time we close it financially.
No, it's not how Hollywood quality.
How they interact.
It's podcast.
It doesn't have Matthew McConaughey. Okay. But it's good.
Sorry. What does that run to do the online academy deal?
$9.95, one time payment, $9.95, you get it.
Not bad at all.
No, totally. Do it yourself. Totally cost effective. Yeah. The other aspect is we have group coaching. So we have a group coaching model, which is, it's kind of similar to like a mastermind.
Sure. Right?
So every Monday at 4 p.m., we have a group coaching call all about treatment acceptance. The first Monday of the month is all hygienists. The second Monday of the month, all assistants. Third Monday of the month is all administration. Fourth Monday of the month is all doctors, and that's teams from all over the country. We come together every Monday. We train, we coach, we go over recording, we talk about verbiage, and we talk about what implementation needs to happen to help you get your treatment acceptance rates up. That's kind of like our middle of the range package. And then our third package is you got our full immersion package, which is Sean and myself, whatever it takes, we'll grow.
Wherever you want to go.
You know,
whatever it looks like, whatever is required.
On average, our full immersion clients will grow about 49% in the first 12 months. We grew practices. Nicole Medley is she's probably listening to this. She grew.
Love you, Nicole. Thanks for listening.
Listen, Nicole Medley is a practice. She's going to probably grow 100% in the first 12 months. Wow. Double her practice in the first 12 months.
She's already doing really well, too.
What has been the most challenging and one of your clients that you're like, I don't think I can help them?
We got a lot of those.
the doctor is what I would imagine.
We may have just gotten off of one of those calls before we came in here. And that's why we had to set ourselves up here. It is no doubt the doctor's willingness to address their own uncomfortableness. And it's a myth, and it shouldn't be this way, but somewhere there's this myth that's been thrown out there that if you are great clinically, number one, and if you are nice to people, which translates to give them whatever they want, however they want to pay, whenever they want to pay, bend over backwards for them.
Right.
If those two things are in place, then number three is you should be successful. That's just not the case, guys. It just doesn't work that way. And I don't want to be the one to burst anybody's bubble, but listen, you can be wonderful to people, and it just doesn't mean shit. In terms of your success, we have a client right now who just over Christmas, this client, there was an emergency in a family. The doctor left her family on Christmas Eve to go see this patient. Okay. There was an issue with the insurance, blah, blah, blah. Patient left in January. We see that all the time.
Isn't that crazy?
The doctor's going, holy crap, I went over and above. The problem is the patient's going, that's what you're supposed to do. You're the doctor, right? Because there's no expectation. There's no communication. Bottom line, communication is the biggest opportunity. And if you're not willing to get past your comfort zone.
I would say this, like for me, there's a lot of people that they want to talk about it, but they don't want to be about it. And when it comes down to it, listen, entrepreneurship is not easy. It's not. No. If it was easy, everybody would do it, right? You know that only 8% of the population in the U.S. are entrepreneurs. Only 8%.
Wow.
Right? Because it's freaking hard. And if you want to be successful, you've got to dedicate yourself, man. If you want to be successful, you've got to absolutely commit to it. And there's going to be hard times. And like Sean said, communication is not easy. And a lot of people are just like, they don't like communicating openly. They don't like holding people accountable. They don't like, everybody says, I'm not good with confrontation. well, you're probably not going to be able to be a good leader.
Or just you understand that that's going to definitely hold you back.
There's a book that I want to mention, by the way. It's one of the
what is it?
Books. I called a friend of mine. I talked to Craig Spodak. They own a practice. They have a podcast.
Delray.
Bulletproof Dental Podcast. Bulletproof.
Yeah, I've heard.
So I called Craig, and I went pretty much. I just went and vented to him like all this stuff that I'm doing. And he's like, "Hey, just read this. Get this book on Amazon." And I got this last week, 2 weeks ago. Honestly, it's 10 hours on Audible. It's called "What Got You Here Won't Get You There."
Yeah,
by an executive coach who is very, very famous, and is the most like one of these very successful executive coaches that teaches successful people how to live their life by everything that you mentioned about a lot of dentists, because it's 20 bad habits, and a lot of those habits we have it as dentists. And he talks about the whole all these CEOs and CFOs and big names that he has trained, and how common it is for them to think of themselves like, hey, we are this magnitude of success, so what is our problem? And he kind of breaks it down one by one. And one of the things that it was mentioning, and I want to mention it, he has a whole chapter on it. It's called The Need to Be Me. Like me, like we are so obsessed about our name, reputation, our value, that we are forgetting about the main thing we're wanting to do, like our goal. We become so obsessed by me that, hey, this is me time, or I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. That's not me. To where we are very, very selfish of not seeing it. So I recommend this book because it's kind of changing me in a way. A lot of times that I feel like I am not being the perfect leader or doing the right thing, because it's teaching me a lot about myself and a lot of things about a lot of folks that I now see amongst some of these great clinicians that we have flaws. So get that book. It's called What Got You Here Won't Get You There.
I'm going to pick that up.
On Amazon.
I'll tell you this too. Like, here's the other thing in dentistry. Like, you don't have to be perfect to be wildly successful. You don't have to be the perfect leader. You don't have to be the perfect entrepreneur. You don't have to have all the answers to be wildly successful, but you got to at least commit to doing something.
Right.
Sure. To communicate openly. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just try.
Somebody not to man up and accept responsibility or deny, or they're in denial, there's no way for you guys to be able to do anything, no matter what. So I think one of the things is, for if the doctor is calling you guys and getting you guys on board, one of the things is that you have to be upfront with them. Is like, hey, if you guys not going to be open to changing, then there's no point for us to even move forward, you know?
He says, Sully ain't getting no sleep.
Sully's y'all.
Dude, I'm just trying to. He was doing great. But no, I think he makes a good point, because ultimately you have to. The doc's got to be on board.
You have to,
or you're gonna.
Oh, you gotta be willing, man. You gotta be willing. Number one, how you gonna hire? Listen, man. Well, if you're gonna hire a coach, you gotta be willing to be coached.
Which is I'm sure is crazier than is a very common thing. But hey, Michael Jordan had a coach.
Everybody has a coach. I mean, Steve Jobs had a coach. Everybody, every successful entrepreneur, talk about The Rock or Oprah, like they all have coaches, executive coaches, people that know them. They know what exactly they want, and they tell them, hey, this is what you have to do. You got to man up. You got to not think about yourself so much, to think of you have to be the one, everything around you, self-centered. So a lot of times I feel like doctors, because of our personality and the situation where the industry and the society has brought us, we're very spoiled. And we think of ourselves in a different way. And sometimes we get carried away to change, because we think what is working, why do we want to change that? And we're not seeing the other side of the spectrum. Like, man, we could have got so much more if we actually accepted we have some flaws.
Well, as you say, the first 10 years I did this, man, I was traveling 205 days a year. And, I had a very interesting situation happen where I took a gunshot wound to the head.
Damn.
And it's a long story, but
that explains a lot, though.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, I used to be a really attractive guy. And
shit happens.
Shit happens, man. But long story short, I mean, through that, I couldn't speak for about a year. And wow. I learned, not everybody wants to, you know, to face their own challenges and fears and so forth. And man, I fired about 50% of my client base because I was spending a whole bunch of time away from my family to try to get them to do what they need to do to be successful. And the ones who were doing it were wildly successful. And the ones that weren't were wasting my time. And so we made a commitment to Crabtree Group that we do just that. We spend a ridiculous amount of time trying to vet and make sure that, listen, if you're not ready to do this thing, man,
that's okay.
If you're not ready for us, that's okay.
But frankly,
we should be doing that with our patients more than we do because we tend to accept everybody.
Everybody.
And we should be. I mean, that's been my thing for 2018, whatever. It was like, I'm just freaking firing people. I don't give it. I mean, it's not worth it. You're going to mess up
good
my
for
day,
you,
my
man.
Day. Like, why are
listen,
we? What
put
are we
the energy for? Into put the energy into finding people who fit your vision instead of spending all that energy trying to please the people who don't.
Like the mindset of abundance versus scarcity. I mean, it's just, it's
totally, man. Totally.
And you asked us on the front end, you know, you guys asked us what makes the Crabtree Group different than another practice management firm or something else. There's a lot of cookie cutter approaches out there that'll take anybody, right? They'll take anybody. You know, you got money, you want to give me money to tell you what to do? Okay, I'll take you. And what we do is we really decided that, listen, we only want to work with people that are serious. Like, if I'm going to give my time away from my family and I'm going to go get on an airplane and I'm going to come to your practice and I'm going to see you on a consistent basis and I'm going to talk to you on the phone and I'm going to be on a video conference with you, I want to know that you're in it to win it because I am. I know I'm in it to win it. I want to know if you are. And that's really the differentiator for us, I think, is that we don't take on anybody, man.
We don't lose either, man.
I love it. Hey, bet big to win big, baby.
Guys, right here, man. Listen,
we're not going.
We don't lose, man. We don't.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, this has been fantastic. I have thoroughly enjoyed this. Y'all are fun as always to get to hang out with chat. We need to do this in person soon, though. You're too close down the road where we need to get together and hook up and have some fun. And
We need to come see Payman's practice. And
I'd love to kind of, I honestly love to sit down and chat with you guys to just kind of look at the picture of what I have and maybe look at it and see how can you guys help me.
Yeah, man.
And how can we, I'm extremely picky. I have high expectations.
Listen, I'd love to have you guys down here too.
Yeah,
I'd love to have you guys here in our office, and maybe we'll, you know. Hey, by the way, you saw the little thing on the side, right? So,
no.
What?
I'm going to go check it out. I don't see that.
Dude, you got to look at the side of it.
All you saw was the bottle?
All I saw was the bottle.
Oh, no.
Sully, you got to go get that right now. Are you serious?
Oh, okay. I will. Gosh.
Where is it?
It's at my house.
Oh, I thought it's here.
No, if it was here, we'd be partaking it. But
check out the size.
All right, so you thought all you got was a bottle?
Well, no, sir, it was a great gift. Gosh, the bottle alone is a good gift.
Get home; it'll get better.
Come on, man.
Oh, okay.
Listen, we're in Jack Daniels country, dude.
Now I'm excited. Now I'm excited. All right, well, dude, gentlemen, thank y'all so much.
Thank you guys for.
Hey, thank you guys. With
us. Listen, Instead of this, these guys are taking care of you. You're in the right hands.
I tell you what, man, I'm so excited to see young entrepreneurs getting after it and being willing to put the time, the effort, the energy into what it takes to be great. And that's
y'all got something special going on.
You guys are doing it, man.
We're having a blast.
Thank you. Thank you guys for the words and looking forward to meeting you guys in person and chat.
We should do some stuff together, guys. It'll be a lot.
We should. Too. Everybody work smarter, not harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Oh, I like that. Take care,
guys.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, this was fun. As always, y'all are good. Was that y'all? Hey, I'm pretty sure y'all had them before you. Who started that first? Y'all did everybody.
Well, ours is actually work smarter, play harder.
Oh, that's right. That's right. No, work smarter.
That's what it says on the business card.
Yeah.
Work smarter, play harder. I do like that, though.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all have a good night. We'll talk soon.
Y'all too. Take care, guys.
See ya. We'll
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.